Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing the program at the top of the hour, 3 Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would love to share it with you. You can call right now, 844-322-2742. Lines are open, and we'd love to share this time and address your question or your particular issue. Give us a call, friends, 844-322-2742, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. All month we've been talking about how the world tries to pressure us to conform to the patterns of the world. All of us feel that pressure as we try to live our Christian lives, live out who we are as children of God in this world of darkness. And so this life of faith that we've been called to, truly believing that Christ has taken away our sins, truly believing that Christ is alive, living in us, takes some guts. It takes some courage because we're going upstream, and we're different, as Peter said. We're strangers and we're aliens in this world, and that's sometimes hard to take, that we're strangers, that we're not like the world anymore. We don't fit in, and we like to fit in. We like to be approved. We like to be accepted by people. So sometimes it's hard to live this Christian life. So it takes some courage, and we see that in the Word of God. Joseph of Arimathea, after the crucifixion of Christ, it said he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. You can imagine the courage that he had to muster up to take that step and go and ask Pilate for the body. We see in Acts 23:11, Paul's headed to Rome. He's been arrested, and it says the following night the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." So Jesus was saying to him, I want you to take courage. This is against the grain. They're not going to be real open to what you have to say, but I want you to say it anyway. And we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 also, where he says, "We are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." So this life of faith is a courageous life, isn't it, guys? And you know, for many of us who have come to grips with the fact that Jesus Christ has taken away our sins, that we stand forgiven in the sight of God, we have to believe that in spite of all the many voices telling us something completely different. For those of us who know we're righteous in the sight of God, and, you know, we have to believe that in spite of the many voices saying, "Hey, you need to get right with God. You need to do this to get right with God. Boy, there's coming judgment. You better get right with God." Well, it takes courage to go against those voices and say, "No, I am sticking with truth. I'm going to let truth shape my thinking, and I am going to rest in what Christ Jesus has done for me." And so that's what we want to talk about on today's broadcast, the courage it takes to actually live out who you are as a child of God in this world of darkness. And Andrew, tell us a little bit of some of the courage that you've had to experience in your own life to deliver this message in the various places you've been called on to deliver it.
Yeah, well, you know, some of the obstacles that we encounter again and again, Bob, I know in teaching and sharing and traveling and meeting different people of all different backgrounds religiously, you know, we confront tradition. I would say people are very quick to say, "Hey, we've never done it that way. This is the way we do it. This is what we believe. This is what our denomination says. This is what my parents, you know, raised me to believe." And these sort of things become obstacles. This is the opposition. So it takes courage to say, "You know what? I'm going to have to reject tradition in this regard and go with truth." So we're confronted with tradition or truth. It's not how old something is that makes it truthful. It's about whether it's actually biblical and whether it lines up with what Jesus Christ has done for us. And you know, there's just so much opposition out there, and I would say tradition is one. And then the other thing is the popularity, just the sheer number of people that believe certain things. So if you're in an environment and you feel like you're the only one, that you're in a minority in terms of what you believe about the cross and the resurrection, the blood of Jesus, then we can feel a tremendous amount of peer pressure to cave and to hedge and to compromise and to, you know, change our belief system so that we can find more friends or gain more acceptance. I mean, these sort of things are very human, and these are the obstacles that are in the way. And you're right. I mean, some of the hot button issues are Christians want to hang a cross around their neck, and they want to talk about the cross to some degree. But then when we talk about what the cross really means in terms of you're a totally forgiven person, even for tomorrow's sins, you don't have to remember them all. You don't need a legal pad. You don't have to get them one by one cleansed. That's where the rubber meets the road and people start finding controversy in what they believe. And, you know, you don't need to mix law and grace. Even the Ten Commandments, being under those is going to cause coveting of every kind, just like in Romans 7. So don't be duped into thinking that a law-driven system is going to keep you from sin. It's actually going to turn out to be the opposite. Well, hey, you start messing with those Ten Commandments in the Bible Belt, baby, and you better look out. There's going to be some rejection because you are saying it's really about Jesus and nothing more, that Jesus is enough. So, guys, those are two hot-button issues, and I would say, you know, tradition and the popularity of a belief, those are the obstacles out there.
Yeah, yeah, so listener and you know, to the broadcast today, if you're out there, I guarantee you, if you've come to grips with the fact that you're a forgiven person and you've tried to share that with some of your friends at your church or maybe in your neighborhood, you've received some pushback. And with that pushback, you've probably said, well, maybe I haven't believed this correctly. Maybe I've missed something here. Well, we want to embolden you to take courage and to say, no, I know Jesus' blood was sufficient. I know he took away my sins once and for all. And I know that in him I have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, that all of my sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Take courage, stand firm in that truth, regardless of the pushback you get. As you take courage, I guarantee you that freedom and liberty will taste much better than the acceptance that you might get from your friends.
Yeah.
So take that step, let courage move one foot in front of the other as far as this life of faith is concerned. I guarantee you, you'll enjoy the rest so much better. That's just the way this good news is all about.
Without question. And in line with that, we're pretty excited about this new video series that Bob and Richard have produced called Your Living Hope. They've teamed up to produce a series that will help you stand firmly in the grace of God and resist the intense pressures that you faced when confronted by the patterns of this world. And all you need to do to receive your copy of Your Living Hope is just go online to basicgospel.net and click donate. Or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Without your help, it wouldn't be possible for us to continue on the air every day proclaiming this good news of the Lord, the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742 and claim your copy of the video series Your Living Hope. By the way, outside the U.S. and Canada, PayPal is your best way to donate to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Wanted to address a situation with our friend Ryan up in Canada. You know, he has stage 4 cancer, a brain tumor, and he's been suffering from that for a number of years. And through that, he's asked a number of questions. You know, it brought up some of the fears. You know, does God really love me? Is this a punishment for some sin I've committed in the past? But through all of that questioning, he's come to grips with what the gospel really is. And he is resting comfortably and confidently in the finished work of Jesus. He's one of the most encouraging brothers that we have in the Lord.
Right.
And we love hearing from him. But there's lots of people that are saying, no, 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 you've kind of missed the boat here. If you really believed, if you really trusted, if you really had faith, you could be healed. Well, he posted yesterday on Facebook and has asked about this. He got another letter from somebody that says if you aren't healed of your sickness, then you aren't saved. And how do we address that? And what kind of courage do we need to stand up against that kind of nonsense? Because that's just downright cruel, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Paul dealt with this in Galatians, and thankfully he said it, because I can say this now and not be worried about going over the top. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Our friend needs to know, and he does, that he believed the true gospel.
Yeah.
He needs to understand that these people, however mean-spirited or friendly they are in their advice, they're preaching a different gospel. He can leave that laying on the floor, kick it into the corner, throw it in a trash can, light it on fire, and throw it away. There is no truth to what they're saying, and he shouldn't have to put up with it. And the rest of you who are listening, if you've seen his posts on Facebook, if you want to piggyback onto his post and give him some encouragement of the proper kind, please do so. That'll be really helpful.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, guys, we see this over and over. It's a distortion of the message. It becomes a completely different message. And, you know, we believe God heals. I mean, God can heal anyone at any time. He's God and we are not. But there's a reason that these sort of things are called miracles. And that's because they're miraculous and rare. And, you know, we can't be barking orders at God. And that's essentially what these pastors, preachers, teachers that are pushing this idea of guaranteed healing for every believer, and if you're not healed, then you're not saved, they become people that are barking orders at the God of the universe and telling him how to do things. Well, God's got some news for us. I mean, sometimes the answer is, hey, when Paul asks three times, his grace is sufficient for Paul. When Timothy has stomach ailments, Paul doesn't say, you need more faith, or maybe you're not saved, or you're the problem. He says, take some red wine for your stomach ailments. In other words, the best medicinal remedy they knew, Paul was recommending it, because he knows that it's not guaranteed physical healing for every single believer. That's just not the case. It's not reality. It's fantasy. And that's why we get new resurrection bodies. That's why heaven exists. I mean, otherwise, you know, we would just sort of faith our way into eternity and never having a need for a new body, never having need for heaven. We would just sort of faith our way along and get rid of every ailment in this fallen world. But God has set it up that there will be a day when Ryan and all of us get a new resurrection body and we see him face to face. And that is the long distance hope that we have. Of course, the present hope right now is that Christ lives in us in the midst of all this junk that we go through in this fallen world with death and disease and fallen DNA. It's a mess. It's ugly. It's difficult. It's painful. But Christ is working in us even as planet Earth is coming at us. And guys, I just think, you know, there's so much damage done when people are told this sort of thing. They think it's my fault, it's my faith, it's the sin in my life, God's mad at me. And what we end up doing is heaping condemnation and guilt on people that are already suffering physically, and that is not the gospel message. That's not the heart of God. The truth will always, always set us free.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we're encouraged by Ryan's courage to stand up, and his heart that wants to reach out and say, hey, here's what the real gospel is. And he's tried that, but they want none of that. They just keep pouring on the condemnation and saying, hey, if you'll just believe hard enough, this can go away. So, Ryan, thank you for your faith. Thank you for knowing truth, and thank you for standing in that truth and being a witness to that truth. And we just pray that those folks will let you alone, will stop being cruel to you, and rejoice with you that you know Jesus, that you have Jesus living in you, and that you're actually looking forward to seeing him face to face in the near future.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad you're with us today. Again, Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. My name is Bob Davis. We are glad that you're with us, and we're glad that Gord is with us. He was listening in Canada and left this message for us overnight.
Hi, this is Brother Gord calling from Edmonton, Alberta, and I'm listening to your program on CJCA. My question is, what is your take on eternal security of the believer? Thank you, and God bless. Bye.
It's a good question, and through the years, that's been one of our most asked questions.
Yes.
The eternal security of the believer. The Scripture's really clear. Once we're saved, aren't we, guys?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we're saved by the power of Christ's life. The book of Hebrews calls that life an indestructible life. So the day that we lose our salvation is the day that Christ's life is destroyed. And that is never. It'll never happen. We will be saved as long as Jesus lives to intercede for us. And that is forever. That is eternally. So eternal life is not temporary life. Eternal life is not life until you blow it, life until you mess up, life until you ruin the contract. I think we just have to go back to what is the contract. I mean, you know, the contract is not some bargain that you struck up with the God of the universe where you said, God, I promise, I'm really going to be faithful. I'm really going to do it this time. And then, boom, you fail and the contract is dashed against the rocks and everything falls apart. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that because God could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. So the contract is between God and God. It's like, you know, in this corner, the God of the universe, and in this corner, the God of the universe. And Hebrews says, God's not a liar. It's impossible for God to lie. And then also, God's not a liar. So if you've got two guys who are not a liar, and they're both the God of the universe, the creator of all, and they have secured your salvation, then you understand why Hebrews says that is the anchor for your soul. So, Christian, you are not anchored by your promise to God. We are actually anchored by God's promise to himself.
Yes, and that's the good news. That's what makes this gospel of Jesus Christ such good news. It's God saying, I'm taking the responsibility on. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to give you life. I'm going to come and live inside of you, and that's going to be a forever thing. And the fact that he's taken away our sins forever and has declared us righteous in his sight are two other proofs that this salvation that we have is complete. When Christ saved us, he saved us completely. So Jesus' indestructible life, the fact that he's declared us righteous, and the fact that he's taken away our sins and he remembers them no more. All three pieces of evidence prove that once we're saved, we are saved forever.
Gord, hope you're listening and hope that's a tremendous help to you, as I'm sure it is to many, many people. Friends, remember that to keep the good news coming on Basic Gospel, we depend upon your prayers and your generosity. And remember that with your donation during the month of August, we have that new and very exciting DVD series called Your Living Hope. It's by Bob and Richard, and it's our gift to you with your donation to Basic Gospel. So click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we're going to send you a copy of Your Living Hope. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, let's go and talk with Nicole in Las Vegas. She had a great question about her situation, her marriage, and I think it could be appropriate for a lot of our listeners out there. So let's go and hear from Nicole.
Hi, my name is Nicole from Las Vegas, Nevada, and my question is that I don't know how to minister to my husband. I know that the husband, the man, is meant to be the leader, the spiritual leader. However, God is just, the Holy Spirit is working in my heart and in my conscience, and I'm gaining understanding and desire for more understanding. And, you know, I feel like I want to share this with my husband. I don't want him to get left behind. I want him to share this experience with me. But, you know, I want to show humility and be under my husband, and I'm not sure how to go about making both of those things happen. How can I lead him to God and also let him be the leader, I'm just not sure what to do from here. But I know that the Holy Spirit is tapping me on the shoulder for whatever reason and getting my attention and working in my heart, and I want to share that with my husband. Do you have any advice, or you know, can tell me, or other people that are in this situation, where to start with this without being an overbearing woman? I'm sure I would, and I'm sure a lot of other people would appreciate it also. Thank you so much.
That's a fantastic question. Yes. And really one of those rubber meet the road types of questions that I think there's a lot of wives probably in Nicole's exact position. And so how do we help Nicole? What kind of advice do we give her from, you know, her question? It sounds like she has a husband who does not know the Lord. She knows the Lord. She has an interest in seeing him come to know Christ. How does she go about that? I think that's the real question that she wants to know. I know Peter has some wonderful advice in his letter, and he says exactly what Nicole mentioned, that she wants to be submissive. She wants to put herself underneath her husband. And so Peter said, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, and what that means, they're not allowing themselves to be persuaded by the spoken word itself. It says, be subject to your own husband, so that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. So I think a wife who knows Christ can draw on the security that she has in Christ and freely submit to her husband to show him respect, because that's what he needs as a man. He needs to know that he's respected. And so the fact that she is in the Lord, it gives her the freedom and the opportunity to love him in this unique way. And I would certainly encourage her to pray and ask the Lord to show her some unique ways that she can specifically show respect to her husband. That's not to every man and that sort of thing, just to that one guy that she is married to. How can I show him respect? And as you go about your life, just leave the results of that in God's hands. Don't feel pressure to conform with what the world may tell you to do. Just trust the Lord. Allow God to lead you in this particular deal. Leave the results in his hands.
Yeah, I would also say, you know, speaking of Peter, 1 Peter 3:15, you know, be ready to give an account of the hope that is within you, but with gentleness and respect. And I love those two words, Bob, gentleness and respect. And, you know, husbands, we sort of have a radar for that sort of thing. Am I being respected? Am I being honored? Is someone trying to usurp my role? You know, we can get very sensitive about this sort of thing. And Peter is saying, no matter who it is, if it's a woman talking to a man, if it's a wife talking to a husband, or if it's vice versa, or if you're even talking with a total stranger, it says, be ready to give an account of the hope that is within you, but with gentleness and respect. And I would say no one can take away our testimony. So I would encourage her to keep it about her and her joy and her celebration of Jesus, what she's learning. And if it doesn't look like she's trying to fix him or change him, well, then he may be all ears.
And ready to ask the question, tell me about the hope that is within you. And that's what she wants.
Absolutely. Well, friends, we have, this month, as I've said, been talking so much about the exciting new DVD teaching series called Your Living Hope. And as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we have a copy for you. It's all about standing firm against the world's pressures to conform to its ways. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And we'll send you a copy of this empowering DVD series, Your Living Hope, from Basic Gospel. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. And if you would like to get a question to us, you can do it just as Gord and Nicole did and call 844-322-2742 anytime, 24 hours a day, and leave your recorded question for us. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you for a Hard Passages edition tomorrow. Bye-bye.